Good morning, and welcome to the first quarter 2022 Gentera's conference call. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Barrera, Investor Relations Officer of the company. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you all for joining us and for your continued interest in Gentera. I'm Enrique Barrera, the company's Investor Relations Officer. I'm very pleased to introduce our management team. With us today are Mr. Enrique Majós, Gentera's Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Patricio Diez de Bonilla, Banco Compartamos Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Mario Langarica, Gentera's Chief Financial Officer. Enrique Majós and Mario Langarica will present the results for Gentera for the first quarter period as per the report that was issued yesterday. Patricio Diez de Bonilla, along with Enrique and Mario, will actively participate in the Q&A session of this conference call. Please note that during this presentation, Gentera may make forward-looking statements. These do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, company performance, or financial results. Additional information on forward-looking statements can be found in the disclaimer located in our earnings release. If you did not receive a copy of the release or if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact our Investor Relations department in Mexico City. If you are a member of the media, we ask you to contact us directly. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Majós for his presentation. Enrique, please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning to everyone. As always, your presence and interest in our call is encouraging for us. 2022 has started with really solid results, not only in terms of our business numbers, but also in terms of our presence in the market and the value that our product offer provides to our customers. At the same time, we are having substantial progress on our digital transformation initiatives, and as we explained before, several initiatives are on their way to be implemented along the present year. So the highlights for today are basically two. The first one, we will have a quick overview of Gentera and its subsidiaries results for the first quarter. And second, we will have an update on Gentera digital transformation journey. Once again, let me start by expressing my gratitude to all the management team, staff members, and members of the board, of course. Any progress made up to now and the accomplishments you will see along the year are the results of the hard work and commitment of our staff, management team, and board of directors. If we previously defined that 2021 was the year of the recovery from the pandemic crisis, 2022 will be defined as the year of deploying our digital capacities in order to get ready for the solid growth and opportunities that we expect for the following years. And we believe that the fact that we have been delivering solid and consistent results for several quarters now is the best indicator of our potential growth in the years to come. So let me start by talking about the first quarter results. Gentera's loan portfolio reached the largest figure historically. We ended the quarter with 49 billion pesos, representing a solid 23% growth compared with the first quarter 2021. In terms of client base, which is one of the most relevant indicators to show potential future growth, we grew around 180,000 credit clients in a year-to-year basis. This is a strong growth if we consider that during the last year, we let go more than 100,000 customers in Guatemala. Our cost of risk continues in very good shape. As you could see, loan portfolio NPLs ended the quarter at 2.5%, which is even better from the NPLs reported in previous quarters. And cost of risk stood at 9.7%, which is below our original expectations. One more time, we are delivering strong results. Gentera's net income in the first quarter was 1,005 million pesos. the net income reached in this quarter is among the five best net income generated in a single quarter in our 31 years of history, which makes us feel very proud about this year and enthusiastic about the opportunities ahead. And very important, our net income comes clearly from the healthy operations of our core business. And overall, we continued with very solid numbers in terms of capitalization and liquidity. Mario Langarica will provide more details about each of our subsidiaries, and as always, we will be happy to answer any specific question about our business operations at our Q&A session. As you can see, fundamentals of our business operations are solid, maybe better than ever, so we are in the best position to put our attention on the digital transformation journey we have decided to follow as the pillar of our business strategy to build Gentera's future. So let me jump now to the update on Gentera digital transformation journey. As we have said before, our digital transformation strategy is aimed to accomplish two very important and specific goals. The first one, to provide increasing convenience to our customers, and the second one, to make Gentera a more efficient and profitable company. As part of our transformation journey, we have been moving forward in the first stage of our technology enablers in Mexico and Peru, which are the foundation in which we will be deploying our business initiatives. Let me update you about the most important digital transformation initiatives. At Compartamos Banco in Mexico, we are testing the end-to-end credit process of the digital platform, whose purpose is to capture efficiencies of the individual and group lending process that will help the productivity of our sales force and will improve the experience of our customers. As part of our testing process, we already implemented the platform in two branches. Feedback from loan officers and customers has been very good, and they are already experiencing the benefits of the platform. And let me give you a few examples. You know that clients usually received confirmation of their capacity of receiving a loan after 5 days, and that was the traditional process. With a new digital platform, today they receive the pre-approved confirmation of their credit application the same day they requested it. Another fact is paperwork. With the new process, the onboarding process for new customers is 100% digital. This makes the experience easier for clients and staff members, and the major impact is in the renewal process, which now is 100% paperless and automated. And for our loan officers, the first indicators show that they can optimize their daily process by at least 30%. At Yastas, we are in the process of upgrading our digital payment core system. This is also a very important initiative for our transformation journey. The new system will provide us flexibility in connecting other banks to Yastas payment network. In addition, it will create a more friendly experience to our correspondent agents, and they will be able to offer a more robust spectrum of financial and non-financial services to the end customer. Now, in Peru at Financiera Compartamos, last month we released our new core banking system, and as of today, we have had only some minor incidents. This is a very important accomplishment, since the new core system has better capacities to add new functionality and technologies to our operation. Also in Peru, we are implementing a digital platform for the individual lending process. Through this platform, we will capture benefits in terms of productivity and cost efficiency, and we expect to have hard data to prove the effectiveness of this new process by the second half of the year. Finally, synergies between Concredito and Compartamos are promising, and we have started to see its potential. As of today, 12,000 Compartamos clients have also become Empresarias con Credit. They now represent close to 20% of the Empresarias con Crédito has. And we have here a double positive effect. The first one, we are expanding ConCrédito's credit distribution capacity through new distribution channels. And second, by giving our Compartamos clients the opportunity to become Empresarias con Crédito, we are providing them a source of new income. So, as we explained in our previous call, our roadmap for 2022 is about deploying our digital capacities in order to get ready to start capturing the value of the new processes and tools by the second half of the year, of course, through the following years. We are convinced that our digital transformation strategy has great potential and will be the engine for our future growth. Now, regarding Gentera's annual shareholders meeting celebrated on April 13th, I can tell you that the ordinary dividend payment equivalent to the 20% of Gentera's net income was approved. This dividend will be distributed among the outstanding shares at the date of payment, which will be no later than May 13th. And let me now pass the call to Mario Langarica. He will provide the financial and business highlights. And afterwards, we will have our Q&A session with Mario, Patricio, and myself. So thank you, Mario, and go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique, and good day to everyone. As always, we appreciate your interest in Gentera. As in previous conference calls, I will focus my remarks on the following concepts. One, our portfolio growth and the performance of our margins. Second, asset quality, including cost of risk, allowances, NPLs, now defined as a stage three for the portfolio and coverage ratios. Three, operational expenses. Four, our strong and improving net income generation and profitability. Five, our liquidity and capital position. And six, some final remarks. Before starting, and as mentioned in our past conference call, from first Q22 and onwards, our financial statements and the analysis prepared will be presented under new Mexican financial accounting standards aligned to IFRS 9 methodology. The main changes impacts are explained within the press release that we published yesterday, and I will mention some of the most important during my remarks. Financial statement and its metrics for previous quarters, for Q21 and first Q21, were not re-expressed under this new financial and reporting standard, given the fact that we didn't see major impact in general. Now let me start. One, our portfolio has kept growing and our margins have kept improving. As mentioned by Enrique, Gentera's loan portfolio reached a new historic level of 49 billion pesos in first Q22, representing a 23.6% growth compared to first Q21 and 6.7% above for Q21. This initial performance makes us believe that we could finalize the year in the high end of the portfolio growth range guided for the year, around 15%. Banco Compartamos finalized the quarter with a loan portfolio amounting to 28.9 billion pesos, a remarkable 32.3% growth compared to first Q21, and maintaining very strong asset quality. In Compartamos Financiera in Peru, where we have continued to witness very positive signs of recovery, loan portfolio amounted to 17.2 billion pesos, representing a 15.7% increase compared to first Q21 and 4.4% compared to 4Q21. And in ConCrédito, we closed the quarter with 3.1 billion pesos loan portfolio, representing a 35% growth compared to first Q21. Regarding margins at Gentera level, we have observed improved performance in the different margin components. A, interest income grew 27% compared to first Q21, mainly driven by the portfolio growth of Banco Compartamos and Peru. B, interest expenses stood at 623 million pesos, representing an 18% growth compared to first Q. It is very important to remember that the expenses associated to credit origination and leasing agreements have been now reclassified from first Q22 onwards in the interest expense line according to the new financial reporting standards and IFRS. In first Q22, these expenses represented 88 million pesos, or around 14% of the total 622 million reported. Even considering these changes, the growth in net interest income was 28% higher than first Q21, representing a 39.5 NIM, compared to 32.1 in first Q21. And compared to 4Q21, net interest income grew 5%, and NIM showed an additional improvement over the last quarter's 39.3% figure. C, provision for loan losses amounted to 156 million pesos in 1Q22, a higher level compared to the 720 million in provisions registered in 1Q21, and very similar to the level of provisions required in 4Q21 of 1.1 billion pesos. The annual increase is mainly explained due to the strong loan portfolio growth and the low comparable base of provisions in 1Q21. And two, ConCrédito's strong growth in its portfolio and a change in its provisions methodology, which now considers credits as personal loans instead of revolving credits. Net interest income after provisions amounted to 4.77 billion pesos compared to 3.9 in first Q21, representing a 22% growth. That resulted in a NIM after provisions of 31.8% compared to 27.1% in first Q21 and 31.7% in 4Q21. It is important to say that even considering the reclassification impacts in the interest expense line described above, the NIM after provisions, which in first Q22 was the best level that we have seen since the pandemic started. Regarding risk levels, cost of risk in first Q22 stood at 9.7%, better than the 10.5% range guided for the year. Allowances amounted to 3.5 billion pesos on a consolidated level. As of today, we still maintain around 200 million pesos in additional reserves in Compartamos, Peru. NPLs, now Stage 3 loan portfolio, stood at 2.5%, which is an improvement compared to the 2.82% in 4Q21, and a solid improvement compared to the 3.74% in 1Q21. Worth highlighting is that the bank continues showing a strong asset quality performance, and Peru is also showing very positive results. Our coverage ratio in 1Q22 amounted to 281%, superior to the 267% in the previous quarter. Three, operational expenses. Operational expenses for the quarter stood at 3.662 billion pesos, representing a 1.9% annual growth compared to first Q21. Once again, it is important to note that the deferred expenses linked to credit origination and leasing agreements are now reflected in the interest expense line as described above. And at the bank level, IPAP fees and expenses that were previously reflected in operational expenses are now considered in the other expense line, and that amounts to 22 million pesos. Considering all these changes for 22, we expect to grow operational expenses around 5 to 6% compared to 2021, as explained in the last call. So we should expect higher expense levels in the following quarters compared to first Q, mainly related to the acceleration of our investments in the transformational initiatives that we have been telling you about since the last call, and particularly with the points that Enrique described above. Four, net income continue growing, maintaining a positive recovery trend. Yet Gentera's first Q22 net income amounted to 1.005 billion pesos, a very strong result, representing 2.7 times growth compared to the 378 reached in first Q21. Gentera's controlling participation amounted to 977 million pesos, representing an EPS of 0.62 cents. As you can see, with this strong result that we're posting, Gentera is back to normal dynamics and with very strong opportunities lying ahead. Even as we had an excellent quarter, we're still prudent about the following quarter's expectations. After the current macroeconomic environment, therefore, at this point, we're not changing our guidance for the year. And as mentioned before, we also expect to increase the investments of our transformational initiatives, which will represent additional expenses in the following quarter, as explained before. Gentera's ROE for the first Q22 stood at 16%, and ROE at 5.6%, showing consecutive growth compared to 4Q21 and a strong improvement compared to first Q21. It is important to highlight that Banco Compartamos, our largest subsidiary, reached strong levels of ROE of 28.4% and ROA of 8.7%, even considering the very strong capitalization levels that we have. And also mentioning that Peru is accelerating its contribution faster than expected. So our expectation for Gentera is to finalize the year with an ROE moving around 15% and an ROA around 5%. Five, we maintain our strong liquidity, funding, and capital positions. Gentera's concluded first Q22 with a very healthy liquidity position amounting to 30 billion pesos. And the liquidity levels at each subsidiary are very solid and sufficient to fund the growth and are strong to face the opportunities that this year will bring. As we have mentioned in different conference calls, we have very strong access to different incremental funding sources for the holding company and our subsidiaries. We have very strong relationships with plenty of funding options, and we're constantly improving and adapting our debt maturity profile. Gentera's strong capital to assets ratio amounted to 34.5. Banco Compartamos concluded the quarter with a 37% ICAP. Compartamos Financiera with a solvency level of around 18%. And Concredito with a capital to assets ratio of 51%. To finalize my remarks, I want to emphasize that we're very pleased about the results we're presenting and excited about this year, as this is the year of transformation, growth, and new opportunities. We're very enthusiastic with the prospects for the future, and we're moving in the right direction to reach, in the medium term, as we have said in the past, an ROE above 20%. Thank you very much for your attention. And that's all for our presentation. And we would like to move forward for the Q&A session.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad at this time. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow the signal to reach our equipment. Thank you. Your first question is coming from Ernesto Gabilondo from Bank of America. Ernesto, please pose your question.
Hi, good morning, Carlos, Enrique, Patricio, and Mario. Congratulations on your strong first quarter results despite the hiking cycle. And my first question is related to that. No? What will be your expectations for rates for this next year? And what are you doing to mitigate the impact Can you transfer the impact to the client, or maybe take some development bank lines or use part of your excess cash? So what will be the strategy behind it? And then for my second question is on loan growth. As you know, we have been seeing higher inflation, higher rates. So just wondering if it could have an impact in your loan growth portfolio, or do you think that the Gentera's business could be kind of more contracyclical? And my last question is on when do you start to see reaching the 20% sustainable ROE? And considering that you delivered a common equity tier one of 37%, could this make us think of a higher dividend payout ratio next year, which could also be supportive for the ROE expansion? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ernesto. I will answer the first and the third, and then Patricio and Enrique will probably give you the answer to the second. Yes, well, very good point, and I didn't say that in my speech, but we have readjusted our original expectations for rates for year end, and now we are expecting a 5.5 reference rate for Peru and an 8% reference rate for Mexico. And that's also why we also said that we are prudent in expectations for next quarter, because the interest rates will grow. Now, what we're doing, as you can see, our balance sheet management team has been doing a lot of things to continue improving our asset liability profile. And we are switching between interest fixed and variable rates. We are reducing our liquidity, and we are also expanding additional funding sources. We are not expecting to increase prices to our clients, but we think that managing through the cost of risk to the adequate management of expenses, we still can bring an improvement to the to the net income, even after these increases in the reference rate. Patricio or Enrique?
I'll jump to the second question, Ernesto. In terms of portfolio, you need to bear in mind that Mexico and Peru is still a very large underserved markets where credit demand is robust. Therefore, in economic downturns as the one we're living in, the reality is that more micro-entrepreneurs require financing for their activities. As such, we don't expect to see lower volumes. As you remember, the guidance for the year is to grow the portfolio between 13 and 15%. This first quarter of the year shows that we are in a very good momentum to get there. And going forward, even with a high inflation environment, the reality is that where basic goods start to pick up in prices, the demand for financing also increases, because they buy inventories with the credit that we grant, and as such, we don't expect a contraction of the portfolio because of inflation. So having said that, we are still aiming the guidance for the portfolio this year, and we still see very good opportunities for the coming years.
Thank you, Patricio. And for ROE, as you have seen this quarter, we had an excellent 16% ROE, and that basically comes from the very good ROE of the bank and the improvement of the results in Peru. We hope that for the second half of 2023, we could be above the 20% hurdle that we have talked about. And since this year, still Peru has to pick up, and next year will probably be a consolidation year for Peru. Once we have Peru with similar levels of ROE compared to 18 and 19%, then we will be able to reach the 20% hurdle.
Perfect, thank you. And this ROE of 20%, is this considering a higher dividend payout ratio?
Very good point. As we mentioned in our last call, part of the payout ratio where it is around 20% has to do more with the acquisition of ConCrédito. But once the acquisition, the final part of the acquisition is accomplished in August, then we will surely be able to increase the payout of Gentera, obviously if the results are as expected, for next year. So even though without reaching the 20% ROE, we would expect to raise the payout if things happen as expected.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Mario and Patricio, and congrats again.
Thank you. Your next question is coming from Jason Molin of Scotiabank. Jason, please post your question.
Hello, everyone. My question is about growth and the growth expectations that you were just mentioning as part of the prior guidance. I guess let's talk about 15% loan growth there. What is driving that? Will it be increasing number of clients in Mexico and Peru? Will it be increasing the average ticket? Do you see the average ticket going higher with this kind of inflation that we have in both Mexico and Peru? And what do you think are the drivers to have better than expected growth or weaker than expected growth? If you're suggesting that perhaps there's some lack of cyclicality in the business despite the slowdown in the economic growth outlooks for your main markets. Thanks.
Thank you, Jason. This is Patricio. Main drivers for growth, of course, have to do with customer acquisition. We are still growing in customers, but more importantly, we are retaining better existing customers. As you recall, existing customers can repeat higher loans, so the ticket size increases as you retain good customers. So new customers and higher volumes of existing customers will drive the group lending portfolio in Mexico. As you can see, also the individual piece of the Mexican business is doing well. We expect to continue the growth momentum on the individual lending side in Mexico. That's another avenue for growth. And the cross-sell opportunities for both group lending and individual are growing fast. As you saw, we grew the cross-sell product by 97% in Mexico. So those three factors will drive growth for the Banco Compartamos business. On the Peruvian front, we are growing back again the individual piece as we are holding better the asset quality, as you saw. And we are picking back again growth on the group lending side. So new customers on the group lending side and retaining better individual are the growing factors or items for the Peruvian business. And you need to bear in mind also that ConCrédito is playing also a very strong growth momentum. As you recall, we are growing over 30% in this business. We are entering new markets in Mexico, and ConCrédito will also help Gentera to continue the growth momentum going forward. So I talked about the three financial subsidiaries for Gentera. I know those three drivers will drive growth, not only in this 2022, but going forward.
And what are the risks to the upside or the downside in these for these drivers?
The reality is that the competitive landscape today, it's not very strong the reality that we are seeing that competitors in Mexico and in Peru are still facing operational and financial difficulties due to the pandemic. Therefore, there's a large market that needs to be served. But we need to be careful, Jason. As you remember, we are maintaining good asset quality. We rather grow with quality than fast, as you have seen through the years. But the downside risks, of course, are economic downturns. No, we're seeing that the growth, not only in Mexico, also in Peru, it's slowing, and that's something to be considered. And that also could put pressure on the asset quality. Those two would be the downside risks for what I just mentioned. On the upside, if we are digitally enabled through the end of the year, and we are able to reach faster and digitally enabled customers, we think that there's a lot of growth momentum using digital tools for the subsidiaries of Gentera.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question is from Yuri Fernandez of JP Morgan. Yuri, the floor is yours.
I have the first one regarding your guidance. I guess you kept it unchanged, the 2.05 to 2.15 EPS per share, right? Don't you think this is too conservative? You already had like 62 cents this quarter, and if you want to analyze this, we are talking about 2.4 to 2.50 EPS, right? I understand that G&A will move up because of your investments on digital front. It has been very good this quarter, maybe not sustainable. But your effective tax rate was also very high this quarter. And I guess margins should keep helping. Concredito was weak this quarter because of higher provisions. So my question is, why not revising the guidance up? Like, do you see, I don't know, any kind of headwind I'm not seeing here in this comment? Like, what is your take here on your EPS guidance for the year? And I have a second question regarding repricing and margins. Gentera as a holding, right, like the consolidated entity, used to have more than 50% NIMs. I know there is accounting changes here. The mix has changed as well, but don't you, like, what is your view for margins in the long term? Do you think like your margin will remain around 40%, the current level, or do you see room for margin expansion going forward? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Yuri. And I think that you have a very valid observation on the guidance. So let me first give you the short answer. And maybe the short answer is that we believe it's too early to tell. We are in the first quarter. But yes, things could change, and if we need to make an adjustment, we will do it, and we will communicate it to you as soon as we decide it. But let me give you a little bit more of the rationale under this. And I think that, yes, the good news is that we believe we have been very consistent now, and after several quarters, we have been showing solid recovery. So, Peru is a little bit behind, but it is also showing a solid recovery. And as Mario explained, we also know that we have some investment related to our digital transformation process or initiatives that are still to come. So we know for a fact that we have some expenses that are going to be there for the following quarters. And on the other side, economic activity seems to be sitting down, not only in Mexico, but also in Peru. So we believe we need to finish observing how is this going to impact us. And maybe for the second quarter of the year, we will be able to make a better analysis or assessment of this, and if we decided to change the guidance, we will tell you as soon as possible.
And well, regarding NIMS, yes, as you know, we have changed the structure of the composition in the last year, mostly through the relevance, increasing relevance of Peru. But as you have seen, our NIMS have been increasing. We would expect these NIMS to maintain the good momentum for the following quarters. And what is very important is that these improving margins through, one, the growth in the loan portfolio, second, the control of the interest expenses, third, maintaining asset quality, should allow us to continue this improvement. But very important is what all of these transformational initiatives that Enrique has described and we have been talking about in the past should bring going forward in terms of productivity and efficiency. So yes, we will keep obviously taking a look at the margins, but overall it's very important not to forget that where we have a big opportunity is in the efficiency of the company with the digitalization that we will bring in the next years.
No, super clear. I was just pointing margins because sometimes we hear from investors that because you are a liability-sensitive bank, right, high rates tends to be negative. People, they are, I would say, overall more conservative when looking to the NIM. And I do believe that maybe you have a more potential for margin expansion, more powerful than rates, right? So this is why I'm asking about margins. I'm basically trying to see this trend going forward despite of a tougher environment for rates in Mexico. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is coming from Brian Flores of AFA Investments. Brian, please pose your question.
Hi, team. Good morning. I have a couple of questions and then maybe a follow-up on Yuri's question. My first question is on ConCrédito, particularly on the asset quality. Because we have seen, yes, sequential improvements, but with a very high level of charge-offs compared to the growth loans. So just wanted to ask, what do you think there is a sustainable level of charge-offs versus growth loans, just to have an idea going forward? And also, just willing to understand, my second question is on OPEX. Mario, you commented that, of course, there will be some investments going forward, and this is, I think, very understandable. Just wanted to understand, how long do you think we could see these investments, and how much do you think it will represent on a marginal basis compared to the original guidance going forward? And after that, I'll make a quick follow-up on Yuri's question. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Let me start with ConCrédito, and I will take the opportunity to give you a little bit more information about how ConCrédito's business is going. So, as Patricio explained in maybe the first question he answered, the ConCrédito strategy is very, we are really happy, and we have great expectations about this because it's basically based on three things. The first one is the geographic expansion that the business is having here in Mexico. The second one is this referral program that I talked about in my initial remarks, which are this Compartamos clients becoming empresarias con crédito. So that's also an expansion of the distribution channel to put credit in the market. And the third one is the initiatives related to Creditienda. And also with this, we see that in ConCrédito we have those opportunities that we have seen since we started and we planned and executed the investment on this business, which is they have a very good digital platform for empresarias and staff to manage their loans and processes. So they're a kind of fintech business. And now, as I told you last quarter, they have become branchless in terms of their operations in the field. So there's a lot of things that we like about this business. Portfolio is around 3 billion pesos now. And talking about now your question related with the quality of the portfolio, I can tell you that, and Mario can give you a little bit more information about this, but I think that the problem was, or at this point, the problem is in the write-offs. What we are looking is that NPLs, which is this short-term non-performance loans, is very good. It's even below 2%. So the problem, I think, now it's in the past. It was last year. So the write-offs, and Mario will give you more information about the write-offs, but the write-off was the problem because last year, as you remember, what we did is that we started a very aggressive expansion with new empresarias who didn't have the traditional experience of managing this kind of businesses. We put correction measures on this, and we turn this strategy more into this referral program who has a very, very good quality of portfolio. We are looking very good results, not only in terms of the loan portfolio growth, but also in the quality of that portfolio. So I guess looking forward, I think that we are now with more solid steps in ConCrédito's group. So Mario, I don't know if you want to add something else.
No, I mean, you have explained it very well. What I would tell you is that, the write-off level of ConCrédito for the quarter was almost double the first quarter of 21, and that was because of what Enrique just explained. The cost of risk for the quarter was 34%. But we should aim to bring that level back to below 20% as soon as possible. So we hope that for next year we should be below 20% as it has been historically below that. Last year it was 15.8, and in 2020 it was 17.7. So we should aim to bring it back down. So it's a temporal situation. And again, what is important is to see the cost of risk for Gentera as a whole. And that's, we are at 9.7 compared to the guidance that we gave of 10.5. So yes, and we also mentioned that in the past, that the good levels of asset quality should allow us to test and pilot new products and new ideas in order to reach additional growth. But obviously, we will control that particular case and bring down the cost of risk at ConCrédito as soon as possible. The other one, the OPEX. Well, yes, I mean, we gave a guidance of around 12 to 13% for total expenses. Total expenses as defined as what expenses were in the previous methodology of the Circular Única Bancaria. And what we said is that more or less an increase of 5% was related to the normal growth of expenses, and the delta, plus minus 7%, was related to all the expenses that were related to the transformational initiatives this year. So basically, what we should expect is that once we do this, most of the investment of this initiative this year, we may have a little bit also next year, but since most of it will happen this year, those investments are already considered in the guidance that we gave. So you shouldn't expect additional expenses to what we guided. What we said is that we will have more expenses in the following quarter than in this quarter, because and that's normal. Every year, the first quarter, traditionally, we spend less than the following ones. But in this particular year, these investments will be in the following quarters. But all of the sum of those expenses should not be above to what we guided in the beginning of the year.
Thank you. That is very clear. And if I may, just a quick follow-up on Yuri's question on the guidance. Just like taking a higher level picture here, isn't by nature Gentera's a bit counter-cyclical in nature, meaning that for the C and the D segment, generally credit is a bit more demanded when the economy is a bit more tight. Just wanted to see your view on that.
What we say is it's not necessarily that we're counter-cyclical. What it's very true is that the demand in our segment is huge and it's not satisfied. So independently of how the economy is in general, there is a big demand from our clients in the segments that we cover. And that's why even though the economy goes better or worse, we need to serve that demand. And that's where we see the growing opportunity.
Yeah, and again, I think that the answer or the rationale comes in two main ideas that I explained before, which is we have some investment expenses coming up because of our digital transformation initiatives in the following months. And the second one that has to do with the economy is that we are looking that we are actually having speed down of the economic activity in Mexico and in Peru. And we have to look how is this going to affect our impact to our customers, because the slowdown in the economy is also something that affects the business of our customers. So let's see how this goes, and as I told you, I think it is too early to tell, and I'm sure we are going to talk about this in the next quarter report.
Very clear, guys. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Your next question is coming from Jorge Henderson of Santander. Jorge, please ask your question.
Hi, thank you. Hi, Enrique, Mario. Congratulations for the results and thanks for the space for continuing. My question is on competition. You mentioned you intend to move upwards from the socioeconomic level to the C level, looking for higher income customers. My question is that should this strategy imply that you will have to compete more heavily with fintechs and other players that previously were in the direction of competitors?
Yes, sorry, Jorge, maybe I didn't hear your question clearly.
Let me try to jump into it. In terms of competition, Jorge, and I understand that you, the different types of competitors that we face, and this is true for Mexico and also Peru. Of course, we compete with traditional banks in certain sectors, in certain products. The higher-end customers of Compartamos might have credit from other, from traditional banks through credit cards or whatever. We also compete with niche banks that focus mostly on the consumer lending side. And the bulk of our competitors today are microfinance institutions that are gathered in a microfinance network, both in Peru and Mexico. The fintechs, of course, they are entering into the landscape. Some are very well funded and trying to reach scale. We have mapped all the competitors, again, not only in Mexico, but in Peru, in these categories. And as of today, what I can tell you that where we compete the most is with microfinance institutions. And as I said during my remarks, these competitors got hit hard during the pandemic, both operationally and financially. Therefore, we see an opportunity to tap into those customers. But again, going forward and moving to the digital world, as we are heading as well, the reality is that not only the existing competitors, but new offerings such as the fintechs are the ones that we expect to fight head-to-head in the years to come. I don't know, Jorge, if this answers your question. It was not very clear.
Yes, I mean, I also have a follow-up question I wanted to ask. And I know you've seen new fintech. I mean, I know you already answered that your main competitors are microfinance institutions. So, but I just wanted to know if you have spotted some specific fintech companies that are like getting more into your area, more like your own landscape.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Patricio. Let me try to give you another view of what already Patricio has explained that I agree totally with him. And I think that to compete in our market, not only in the way we traditionally have competed, but how can we compete for the customer and to be the more convenient offer for our customers in the future, I think that we need to put our efforts and our capabilities in two things. The first one is, I think that technology and digital tools are going to make a very huge difference for the customer experience and for the efficiency of the financial institutions. And that's why it is so important for us to be very aggressive but very effective with the digital transformation strategy that we are following. So, and definitely I think that there are coming up many fintechs and different kind of companies that are moving, that understand this and are moving to a more digital experience in terms of financial services. So that's very important. We obviously are very focused on looking how this capabilities and how these fintechs are deploying and developing new products and new ways to deliver the product to the customers. And I think that we're working on this. No? The second thing that is very important, and not always we talk about this when we talk about competition, but specifically about fintechs, is that our core business is about managing risk. It's about collection. It's about our capacity to really be good in collecting the loans that we disburse. So, and I think that that's a challenge for many of us. I think that that's a challenge in which we have a competitive advantage because we have a lot of experience there. And I think that's something that other institutions, including fintechs, have a lot to do and to build around their business to really become a very solid and growth potential businesses.
Well, thank you. That's very useful.
Thank you very much. Your next question is coming from Carlos Gomez of HSBC. Carlos, please pose your question.
Hello, good morning. And again, congratulations for a very good result. I wanted to ask you about your acquisition of a stake in ConCrédito. You acquired 6%. And when we look at the note in your financial statements, we see a price of 233 million pesos. Could you confirm that is the price that you paid? And is that similar to the price that we should expect when you complete the acquisition of the other 17% you still have to buy by August? Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, it was around 600. And we, as we mentioned in the last conference call, Carlos, in August when we acquired the remaining part to reach the 75% that we said, we will provide you with all the details of the different moments of the acquisition so you have the full picture at that point.
Okay, so but for this acquisition, therefore, the number that you have in the notes, your financial statement, is only a part of the price.
Yes.
Should I understand that?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Carlos.
Operator,
is there an
Sorry, I'm here. My line dropped. Apologies. Your next question is coming from Jose Cuenca of Citigroup. Jose, please pose your question.
Hi, thank you everyone for taking my question. Good morning. Just two quick follow-ups with regards to what has been commented on operating expenses. You were mentioning that you expect most of these investments to digital initiatives to take place during 2022. So my question here is, when do you think it would be a good time to assess the benefits of these efficiency gains, of these productivity gains? I'm not sure if 2023 would be like a good year to see how these investments have turned out. And my second question is with regards to net fees. Just wondering, not sure if the level of net fees we saw during the first quarter, you think it's representative of what we could see in the coming quarters? Just if we could have a little bit of color on that side. Thanks.
Yes, thank you very much. Well, regarding operating expenses, we have projections, obviously, for each of these initiatives with a very clear P&L and with specific goals that each initiative needs to reach. And yes, as you said, part of the benefits, we will see them in 23 and also going forward. It's too early to give you the details of that because, as we have said, some of the amendments we still have not done it yet, but we think that they will have a very fast impact as they are deployed and we have a massive presence in the country. So probably in the last quarters of the year and when we tell you what are our expectations for next year, we can provide you more detail and some KPIs of the productivity and the improvements of each initiative. Similar to what Enrique was telling you in his speech of, you know, moving from processes taking 5 days to taking hours or minutes and things like that. So a very good question. We expect to see the benefits in 23, 24 going forward, and we will provide you more detail when the time comes on those. Regarding net fees, well, yes, as you know, fees are related to the activity. So the main driver for fees fees collected are the size, the growth of clients, the growth of the portfolio, and those are related mostly to the insurance fees and the fees related to the credit activity. But also we pay more fees if the portfolios grow and if the activity grows. But we should expect net fees moving positive and going forward in the next quarters.
Perfect. Thank you so much, and congratulations on the strong results.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, press star one at this time for any questions. Okay, there are no more questions in the queue. The question and answer session is now concluded. I will hand over the call to the management of the company for final remarks.
Well, thank you. Thank you all for attending this call and for your continued interest in Gentera. We are, as you can tell, very enthusiastic about what we are facing and what we expect for the future. As you can see, 2022 will be a year of growth of our business at the same time that we'll be working on the strategic digital initiatives to start capturing value from then as soon as possible. So it will be a very exciting year, and of course we will keep you posted, and thank you again. Have a nice day.
Thank you all for participating in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.